the living.
All right, Nick, what's your show this season?
Oh, well, you're still going to do the introduction and all that stuff, aren't you?
No.
Why not?
You got this.
I don't know how to do the introduction.
Yeah, you do.
No.
No.
With energy.
I always feel so awkward doing introductions, though.
You did not do it with energy, Andy. What the fuck are you talking about?
He did it with some energy, some enthusiasm.
Just do the hard open of, hey, everybody, welcome to OutWitOutPlayOutCast.com is the URL. That's what I would do. And then, my name is Blobbityblon.
Blobbityblobbityblon.
Blah and blah.
Okay, let's see if I can get this right. Alright, that'll do it. Shit, what would you say to start with? Welcome to OutWitOutPlayOutCast.com is the URL, and I forget all the other things Andy told me to say, so I'll just go with it. I'm here with Andy and Brian. We're doing a podcast again for the first time in, well, how long was it? 3 months?
I don't know, buddy. It's been quite a while.
Well, it's August now, but when did it end? Oh, it ended in June, so that's not so bad. It's only been like 2 months. Yeah, we full disclosure, we meant to do some. In fact, I even recorded one, and then nothing worked. It, like, corrupted or whatever. Audacity ate it, is just what I'm going to say. It got eaten by Jesus. I don't know.
Yeah, technical Jesus difficulty.
Yeah, but this should hopefully work. If not, well, then we're just going to waste our time. But we're here mainly to tell you that, yes, we're still around. In the time since we've been here, what have you guys been up to real fast? We'll catch up.
Was my wife pregnant when the... Yeah, my wife's pregnant.
Good job.
So there's that. Good job.
Good job.
What are you
waiting? Have you done anything else?
Nope.
Not even.
Just got my life pregnant.
What have you been watching in the meantime? Since there's no Survivor on for us right now, what have you been watching to keep?
My wife and I, we binge watch stuff. We've been watching Star Wars: The Clone Wars because that's a phenomenal show. If you don't watch the movie and you skip the first season, a couple decent ones in there.
So is that the Gennady Tarkovsk whatever guy one?
We have more of those at all.
Okay, so this is the CG one.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the CG, by season 5, I was watching it the other day, we're in season 5 now, and I was like, man, this looks so good, and season 1 looks so shitty, the animation, yeah. You jest, but the voice acting does get a lot better, especially Ahsoka Tano. Starts out super whiny, but then gets really cool, especially when it's your second lightsaber.
Have you been watching...
we've been watching a...
No, I was going to ask if you've been watching Star Wars Rebels.
Yeah, we've seen all of season 1. We haven't seen any of season 2 yet. Like I said, we binge, so we're pretty much waiting for season 2 to be finished, and then we'll watch it.
Cool. But, Brian, what have you been up to? I saw you were at some convention, and you met Felicia Day, right?
Well, it was just at a bookstore signing.
Oh, that's what it was? I thought it was a convention, because I know there's...
She signed the bookstore. That's what I said.
The most awkward picture ever of you, Brian. Felicia Day. I don't know what this pose that you have is.
I'm, like, squeeing.
I can't blame you.
Get the angle of, like, both
of you. I was just leaning on the table.
Right, but, like, you wanted to lean back towards where she was, so you're, like, leaning back on the table. Your legs are kind of off to the side, too, so you're, like, leaning back with your legs off to the side, and then you've got this weird grin on that doesn't work because you're leaning... It's the worst picture.
Oh, no, I loved it. It looks really, like, I'm going to try and be nonchalant, even though on the inside I'm just running around screaming with my head off. Yeah, but hey, I feel you pulled it off, and you guys are best friends now. Did you do anything else? I know, my mom lives in Arizona. She lives in Sun City West, and I know it's basically this time of year, you don't even go outside until like 8 or 9, when it's cooled off, and it's only, pretty much.
It doesn't cool off at 8 or 9. What are you
talking about? Cools off to only 95 degrees.
Hey, you know what? 2 weeks ago, I actually went outside. We went to a water park. First time I've been to a water park in like 4 years. It was 119 fucking degrees.
Jeez.
Why would you go outdoors when it's 119 degrees?
Oh, there was water.
Why do people live there?
Well,
that's stupid.
No. Okay, so anything else?
No. I started watching Penn and Teller's Fool Us. That's pretty good.
Which one?
If you don't
bullshit?
Know, Penn and Teller, Fool Us.
Oh, okay. A different show, yeah, okay.
Basically, they have a show where they have, like, magicians come up and they try to fool Penn and Teller.
Oh, that's a cool idea.
They do a trick at the end.
That's neat. All right, well, I'll read my list after all. So everything that I have seen at least one season of, in many of these cases, more than one season, in the last 2 months, I watched The Quest, Mad Men, Wilfred, The IT Crowd, Penny Dreadful, BoJack Horseman, QI, Veep, True Detective, Other Space, Boardwalk Empire, Sleepy Hollow, Freaks and Geeks, Difficult People, and Unreal.
What was the best?
Unreal is fucking bonkers. If you have not seen it, try and watch it legally. Unreal. It's on the Lifetime channel, but don't let that fool you. This show is beyond berserk. It's a scripted show, completely fake, whatever, that kind of stuff. But it's set in basically The Bachelor. And it's all about the people behind the camera. And two of the characters, the main character, Rachel, and the director, they are just nuts. Like, anytime something goes wrong, their response is basically just burn everything to the ground. It's great.
Is this reality related at all? Like, is this actual or is this all scripted?
Oh, it's all scripted, but it shows you basically everything that we all know happens in reality shows. Like, we know all of the behind the camera shenanigans to get people.
Yeah.
But it shows it to you, and it's really bizarre. Like, it took one or two episodes to get going, but oh my god, by the end, I was just like literally on the edge of my seat and like shouting at my computer as I watched it. Try not to, like, if you can watch it on any site other than Lifetime's channel, you're good. The problem was, like, Lifetime's thing, even though it was free, like, oh my god, it would crash all the fucking time. It would take me like two hours to watch one episode. It was real bad.
You know, that's CBS's player a couple years ago was really, really bad. And I gotta say, I've been a cord cutter now for about 10 years, no cable at all. Like, I don't pay for television.
Yeah.
So I transitioned to CBS's digital or online web player, and it was so bad for so long. That's why I have, like, eight seasons of Survivor. No, probably more than that. Probably, like, almost 15. Because it was, they do two a year. Probably 15 seasons of Survivor I've just never watched because the player was just unusable.
Yeah. I'm going to have to start watching it that way because I cut the cable, too. I was paying, $70 for basically the History Channel. That was all I was really getting. That and National Geographic, which was great when they had David Reese's show, but then they moved over to GQ, so
which
whatever.
Half of that's on Netflix anyway. Like, yeah. There's so many History Channel documentaries and stuff like
that. Yeah, so I was like, whatever. I did not want to pay that much money for it, so. So that was my summer. And I went to Comic-Con, go figure. Download some of that stuff, whatever.
Up.
Yeah. Hey, you got Phoenix Comic-Con. It's fine.
That's a piece of shit.
It's almost the same thing. My mom keeps calling me. My mom will call me every... When do they do it? May? She'll call me, like, in March and go like, oh, there's Phoenix Comic-Con. You should come down here. I was like, lol, no. I have to let her down easily, though. I have to say, like, oh, no, it's all right. You know, I can really only afford to go to one. But what I really want to say is, no, never. That's a janky Comic-Con. I'm not doing that.
So I went to Star Wars Celebration Anaheim, and I have to say, after going to Celebration Anaheim, I never want to go to San Diego Comic-Con again.
Heathen.
San Diego Comic-Con's great, but it's so expensive, so crowded, so crappily run by comparison. Always room. Like, there was never a thing where, like, there was some big panel in a little room or a little panel in a big room. Like, everything was where it needed to be. Lines were well organized. Yeah, I never want to go to San Diego Comic-Con again.
All right, well... It's good we got all caught up, and I'm going to edit out a lot of the silence and whatever, but that's fine.
Yeah.
That's cool. We'll make it, this will be a nice short one. All right. That's fine. So, all right, well, let's move on to what are we expecting out of this season, this coming season, Cambodia? And I'll be honest, I have not really kept up. I know two things about this show this season. I know, one, it's in Cambodia, and I know, two, it has people who have been on the show in the past.
Yeah. List of people who are coming back, and I remember the people who played last season, like one or two others. There's PG Law, I remember her, and Kelly Wigglesworth, obviously from season one, Jeff Varner from season two. But it's pretty shaky. Actually.
Yeah,
I gotta say, that from season two, remember her.
That was my qualm going into this. In fact, that lost episode we had, the episode that's been stuck on Exile Island, that was. Basically what I talked about for 5 minutes was the fact that, like, anybody who's any good from the previous seasons has already been on a second or third time. So these are basically the leftovers, which kind of sucks. But that doesn't necessarily mean anything. I mean, with the right amount of editing, you can make a really good show out of it. So it'll be fine.
You know what, though? This gives me hope, because this makes me think that because they're digging through the dregs of people who have played before... And I'm not saying Joe from last year or Steven from last year are the dregs. It's just they're more recent, so they're going to want to carry the fan base over for another season. But because they're running slow, it makes me confident that now is the time to strike while the iron's hot. send in my tape.
Yeah.
Do they still do the open casting calls?
I believe they do, yeah.
Because I went...
If you want to send in a tape and be fucking insane.
Oh, no, I mean, so they, I've done these in the past. I went to, there was one in Costa Mesa and another one in bumfuck nowhere. It's like three hours east. No, maybe not 3 hours. It's like an hour and a half east of Riverside. If you, like, that's how, oh, Cabazon is the name of that hole in the wall. Yeah, that is, yeah, see, you know what I mean. I did two of them. The great thing about the Cabazon one was it was inside an Indian casino. So basically I just gambled all weekend and then did it like a 3 minute thing. So yeah, I was wondering if they do those, cause those are fun little mini road trips. And I was going to say, if they do one in the area, we should go.
Hell yes.
Especially if they do one in Cabazon, and Brian, you can make it. Cause that's probably only what, like 4 hours away from you.
Yeah.
Yeah. We'll go, we'll do a road trip if they ever do one again. Yeah.
I'll take my daughter. You guys don't mind a screaming baby in the car, do you?
All right, I'm going to fly down there then. yeah, all right, so, I don't know. PG, for example, like China. I know she's from China. Or, wow, that sounds really racist. From Survivor China.
Survivor season, she was from Survivor
China. She was from the season Survivor China, which is my favorite season. And all seriousness, I cannot figure out who she was. I don't remember her at all. She made zero impression on me in one of my favorite seasons. So that's why I'm kind of like, whatever.
The most memorable part of China for me was, I think it was like the Courtney. First or second challenge. There was a giant ball that the tribes had to fight over pushing to either side. And the two tribes just got fucking brutal on each other.
Oh yeah, that was the one Jeff had to like stop and give him a pep talk, like, hey, maybe you guys
human beings, people. Yeah, yeah. It was that one.
My favorite thing about that was Courtney. She's basically my spirit animal for this show, because she was just like, her archetype was just that kind of catty personality, but she actually wanted to play the game too, which I liked. She wasn't like, oh, I'm not here to make friends. It was, I'm here to win, but I'm gonna do all my cattiness to the camera. I'm not gonna reveal how much I hate Jean Ralphio. What was his name? The poker player. I can't think of his name all of a sudden. Whatever. Let's call him Jean Ralphio. He's that guy now. but like, yeah, I mean, that was the thing. She would just be really mean to him in front of the in the confessionals, and then to his face, she'd just be like, "Yeah, all right, whatever. Okay, great," and then just deal with
that
it.
That is gameplay.
Yeah.
She's having that line.
Yeah. Well,
that had the professional wrestler woman.
Yeah, Ashley, who only made it like two episodes because she was kind of mean to people or whatever, and they're just like, we don't really need that
person in that challenge. She straight up punched somebody.
That was kayfabe. She knew what she was doing.
Okay, she punched somebody. I don't care if she knows how to throw it gently. She punched somebody.
But, yeah. Well, so we actually have a listener. I learned this the other day. So, yeah, we have a listener. I don't know his name. Our friend Brandon from Magic the Chattering told me.
He's friends with Brandon.
Yeah, so he's probably a jerk. But, what Brandon. So I apologize to our listener who, for not saying your name. I would totally pimp you if I knew your name. Brandon didn't say it, so blame him. But you gave us a really good idea that we were going to do episodes in between seasons, like examining a player archetype. That was our plan, and then scheduling didn't quite work out. So we're kind of just going to cram it all into one, hopefully 5 to 10 minute segment right now.
We'll start here and expand elsewhere.
Yeah, yeah.
Is this the same Brandon that co-hosts Magic the Chattering on the Night of the Living Geeks podcast now?
Yeah, welcome to the thing that I said like 2 minutes earlier.
Hey, this is how much I do.
It's fine. You want me to do the hosting gig? Ugh. No. All right.
Now you know what it's like when you do this to me.
I actually pay attention to what you're saying. Yeah, I don't want to piss you off.
I was like, wait, no. I'm just an asshole.
Even when I'm on your comic podcast, I'm like, oh, okay. Let me read the comic. Let me read TV tropes about the comic. Let me read other people's opinions about the comic. Let me read all this, that, or the other thing about the comic so I know what I'm talking about. I don't want people to be mad at me.
You are way more prepared than every other host on the world.
All right. So anyway, what archetypes do we have? So, Survivor, right. Archetypes. First one, everyone's favorite. It's the crazy ass, I don't even belong to be on the show. I'm going to be voted off first, crazy people. Like,
Coach.
Yeah, exactly. That kind of guy. The ones who just go a little bit, they start off sane and then they just go even crazier.
Coach's story about what happened to him in the Amazon is a perfect allegory for him on Survivor.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, I was into extreme water sports, like canoeing down river rapids.
No, I think so I meant sex play.
Got dropped off from helicopter and just dropped me into the Amazon for this like really extreme rafting ride. And then I got captured by a native tribe and they tried to eat my ass. Starts normal.
Yeah. And it's like, I don't remember his name anymore, but he was a guy in Guatemala. And he started off just fine, doing whatever. And then as the game went along, he just became more and more paranoid. Yeah, if you remember Rafe Judkins, the now producer of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Rafe Judkins, he would just stop every episode and go like, Rafe, who are you voting for? And he would just pester him for like an hour and a half. And got to the point where Rafe was just like, oh my god, this guy scares me. We need to vote him off. And like, in his little post getting voted off confessional, he was like, I don't know why they got all berserk on me. Everyone's out to get me, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. But then at the reunion show, he like was sitting right behind Rafe. And like, as soon as they brought it up, he was just like, hey, Rafe, why'd you vote me out? No, I'm just messing with you. I know what it was. I went fucking insane on TV. So he got it. He understood, like, wow, dude. And so the thing is, the archetype, like, what does that add to the show? And the thing, crazy folks, honestly, I think, like, they just give pure entertainment value.
Yeah, they're amazeballs, fun to watch. And game-wise, there's somebody you want to take with you. They're a screen, right? Like, if I'm a legit good player, and it's down to the last 9 or 10 people, I'm going to do my best to keep that insane balls person near me. Because then whenever I fuck up a little bit or something weird or off happens with me and it seems like I might be lying or I might get caught doing something, I have Insane Balls next to me. Insane Balls will save me. Everybody look at Mr. Insane Balls. It's a great strategy just to have that guy near you, guy or gal, near you until they're dead weight or until they're a hindrance to you, until they go crazy on you. And then you can turn around and be like, sorry, I forgot. I didn't know he was insane. I didn't see it coming.
Yeah, like Randy. Well, that's the thing, is they can end up like Randy, where he really was basically just about ready to burn down that entire encampment, and so they had to get rid of him. So
actually, well, Tyson and Coach, that was Tyson's strategy. I mean, Tyson's a little bit of a wacky guy, but he saw the value in keeping Coach near him.
True. Yeah. So, okay. Yeah, entertainment value. And ablative shields. So there you go. We got that too. So that's what they add. The next archetype we got here is like the students of the game kind of hardcore players. Your Rob C, Sesterino.
Yeah.
Apparently he has a podcast. Go figure. We're in direct competition with him.
Son of a bitch.
That ass. We're coming for you, Rob C, Mr. Student of the Game.
We stand apart from other podcasts because we are willing to run smear campaigns.
We're really, and you know what? And we refuse to shill for Squarespace, mainly because they haven't asked us, but we refuse until such time as they ask and give us money. Audible, we fuck you too. Students of the game, all right, what do they add to this thing? So we got good examples, Rob C, Shirin, Max, and Dustin Penner? Nope, that's a former LA Kings player. Jonathan Penner, thank you, yeah. Jonathan Penner.
The kid with the glasses who won.
Who also does stuff for the show now. Yeah, Cochran, John Cochran. In order to be a student of the game, you have to be named John, so that's the first problem there.
Well, Cochran, I think Cochran does it right, because Cochran, he didn't play the student of the game, the one who really is a student of the game, doesn't play themselves in the game as a student of the game. They will play themselves as something else. Cochran played himself as the meek nerd,
yeah,
which he is, but that's the part of his personality he put in front.
Right.
Versus, say, Max, who's probably also a giant nerd, a hipster nerd, obviously.
Max Dawson, but yes.
He put the student of the game in front of all of his other personality.
Yeah.
Traits. Which then I mean, it's immediately saying, I know what I'm doing, I am a threat. It throws that right up front.
It also makes you overconfident a bit. Like, he was doing that to her. He was like, oh, I know, we just got to get the numbers on our sides and everything's going to go great. And meanwhile, he's got his head in the clouds and just trips and falls. In his case, almost literally, putting his feet into the pot of water. So,
literally put his feet in the frying pot.
That guy was not very good at the game. That is an interesting thing, how you can apparently know too much to play the game. Like, you start to overthink it. Like, when Shirin and Max were together, you could see that in Shirin. She only became good at the game when he was gone, and she was able to just, like, all right, now I don't have this little feedback loop of anxiety. I just have people straight up attacking me.
Well, and when they were together, like you're saying, overthinking, they would think it too far, and then they would do dumb shit, like walk around naked. Which, you know, when it happened first, was it a legit good strategy? It threw people off. It was weird. It was different. Like,
it gave them the alone time that they needed.
Yeah. That was a good idea. Doing it now is just fucking weird. Everybody who was there that season knew what you were trying to quote-unquote call back to. But no, it didn't do anything for you. It just made you stand out and be weird and pushed you away from everybody else, which is what you really don't want to do.
Yeah. Well, so, if you can know too much, can we know not nearly enough? Wow, that's take two. If you can know too much, can you not know enough to be playing this game? Which leads us to the next archetype. That's a segue, guys. Know-nothing noobs is what I wrote down for them.
Those are the bossy people that get voted out immediately.
Exactly, yeah. Or they make some other mistake, like they just trust too much. They're, like, incredulous, and people can just pick them out as marks.
Those are my favorite, is the people who are like, this is the only person I trust completely out here. And then that episode, that person votes them out.
That's always good. And then they're always like, what? How dare you?
I don't think the know-nothing noobs will ever have a chance of winning a game. I can't. Is there a time when one of those won?
Like the first season, because nobody...
Well, okay, yeah, okay. Discounting the first, like, three or four
seasons. I can actually think of a know-nothing that did well. Granted, she did well because she allied herself with Russell Hance, and he brought her to the end, and he pissed off so many people that she won. Like, that wasn't her strategy, but true. It worked.
That's true.
I can't remember her name.
As somebody who's a decent player, that's what you do with a know-nothing noob. You gain their trust. You have them be your pocket vote.
Your cat's paw.
Yeah, you have them be your pocket vote, and you just carry them along for as long as you need them. Exactly like Dan was last season for Rod. Oof.
Dan is definitely one of those. He was a hardcore player that knew too much.
Yeah.
But actually, you know what's funny? He was both a hardcore player who knew too much and a know-nothing noob who didn't know nearly enough.
Yeah.
Dan is a paradox and an asshole, and we'll never bring him up ever again.
No, there's somebody worse from last season that we're not
going to... I love cheeseburgers.
Okay, Dan had his moments. He was a dickbag, but he had a moment.
A couple. We'll probably bring... Actually, we'll jump out of order. We won't bring up the super big asshole, but we'll bring up his archetype, which is the people who weren't there to make friends, which I think you've said that's your favorite kind, right, Andy?
It's my favorite kind because I saw somebody put together a YouTube clip. It was a long video, more like it.
Oh, a super cut?
Probably like 20 or 30 minutes. And it was not just Survivor, it was all of reality television. And it was all of the different times anybody in reality television had said, I'm not here to make friends, or some variation of that line, immediately then cut to them getting voted out.
That's pretty great.
At the end, it was somebody did a study, like a Cochrane or a Max Dawson, had done a study saying that nobody in any of the major reality television shows who had said that line had ever won.
Wow.
So if you go on Survivor and you say, I'm not here to make friends, you're also saying, I'm here to lose.
Basically. Well, I mean, that's the thing, is you can be there to not make friends. Wait, does that that sentence doesn't even make sense structurally. You don't have to make friends while you're there, but that doesn't give you license to be a jerk to people. Like, that's the real problem, is they are there, I'm not here to make friends, and then the rider to that is, I'm here to make enemies. And that's doesn't work, especially in a game where you have to vote people for $1 million at the end. You know what I mean? You have to give people a reason to vote for you, and they're never going to say, like, oh, well, this guy yelled at me and called me a waste of space. I want to give him money.
Yeah.
No, there's two different kinds of people in this category. There's the kind that are just like, I'm not here to make friends, which means, like, if like they're on my side and I have to vote them out to put myself ahead, that's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But there's some people that are just huge assholes just to be huge assholes. I don't remember what his name is, but he was on there twice. The really flamboyant gay guy. He was just a huge fucking prick.
Colton.
Colton, yes.
Yeah.
He was such an asshole. And he came up the second time, like, no, I'm not going to be an asshole this time. I know I was bad. And he was even bigger dick the second time.
Oh, God. I did not like that guy.
I don't think it's to say that assholes can't win.
Right. If you remember...
It does.
If you
remember Russell Hance? Okay.
Well, no. Was her name Sandra? I think her name was Sandra.
As bad as they wanted you to think she was.
Right. Exactly. She was definitely a villain, and she was kind of a jerk to people, but she won because she was a jerk at the right time and because she was a lot smarter than Russell. She was pretty great. I really liked her.
Because Russell was very smart and he completely manipulated everyone for two entire seasons, but he lost because they hate him because he's a dickhead.
Yeah.
His first season, I mean, I don't like him as a person, but if you want to know how to play this game, you watch his first season. He is real good.
But be nicer while you're doing it, basically.
He lost it in the last couple weeks.
Well, he lost it early on when he burned what's-his-name's socks to establish psychological control over him.
Okay. No. That's when he lost it mentally and as a human.
Oh, you mean lost it as a game. I see.
Yeah, when he lost the game, I think, was when he had successfully... I think at the merge, it was his 4 versus their, 6 or 7. And he systematically took them out and carried his 4 to the final 4.
Yeah.
And at that point, when it was 4-1, when he knew he was in the catbird seat, he went off the deep end. And he just was a complete asshole to everyone. And he was in tribal, too. And then everybody in the jury saw who he was. And then nobody wanted to give him any money. If you play the Russell Hance game and you get to the final 4 or final 5, all you got to do is be like, look, I played this game really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't do that. He said, you all are fucking stupid. Give me money.
The person who did that the best, this actually... So Russell is part of our big-time schemer archetype. But the person who did the Russell game correctly is Todd from Survivor China. Todd did all the same things except for he never burned somebody's physical property. And he never went off and called someone a complete idiot. But...
I still say burning somebody's physical property was actually a good idea. You're out there for 30 days. Establish the fact that you're the only one who's sane.
Well, but that's the thing, is he didn't even tell him. He never told him until the very end. Well, I'm sorry. He never even found out that his socks got burned. He was just like, where'd my socks go? And then as soon as they watched the episode at home, he was like, son of a bitch, burned my socks. Like, I mean, if he had said, I did it so that you would know what it's like to feel pain or something like that, whatever. But no, Todd, rewatch China. If that's on the website, go ahead and watch that again. And he backstabs, he lies, he betrays, does all that kind of stuff. But when he gets to the final tribal council, he smiles the entire time. He's like, look, I did bad things, but you know why I did it? Because it's a game, and I like you guys very much. And it was all a very big-time scheme sort of thing, and I hope you will appreciate what I did. And they did, and they gave him $1 million.
All you have to do is you can stab people in the neck all you want, so long as in the end you suck up to them.
Yeah.
It's kind of like being Christian.
Well, he was Mormon, as a matter of fact.
The other big-time schemer I really like is, I cannot remember his name for life me ever. Starts with a T. He's a good old boy from the South.
Oh, he JT. Starts with a J, ends with a T.
JT is my favorite big-time schemer because both of the times he played, he's stabbing people on the back, left and right, and smiling at them as he does it. And they smile back at him because he's just a good old boy. And
oh, shucks.
He played it wonderfully.
Yep.
Both times. And he knew every step of the way where he was. And it's great. That first season, if you watch, he is in both alliances. He's the swing vote every time. Every week, he decides who goes and who stays. And every week, when tribal's over, he's never the one in the hot spot.
Right. With JT, and we have the benefit of seeing this because we get them, you know, secret camera stuff or whatever, right? He and Steven, who's in this coming season in Cambodia, they were day one, they're like, all right, you're a good guy, I'm a good guy, let's be friends, and they trusted each other implicitly through the entire thing. And then they didn't have conversations in front of other people to arouse suspicion. And so that's what it was. Yep. So even though he was a schemer, he, unlike Russell, was loyal. And so people appreciated that at the end.
He also falls into another archetype, I think, of the hotties.
Yeah.
I think JC is a hottie.
Oh, definitely. No, hey, I can appreciate the stunning good looks of another man. And hotties, well, we know what they add to the show. They add eye candy.
Like beach distraction.
Distraction. Do we want to, or one third of Cagayan? But
Wait. I need to mention my favorite big time schemer.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Is definitely Fabio. Because the whole time you're watching him, and he's just a complete fucking moron.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, three quarters of the way through the season, you hear him talking, he's like, God damn, it's getting hard playing an idiot all the time. He's yes. Totally faking it the whole time. Because after that, he wasn't stupid anymore.
Yeah.
That's something I remember joking about for years, that somebody needs to do that. To go on the show and play a fucking idiot until nobody's watching you, and then suddenly you turn it all around.
Do we have anything else to say about hotties? Because, I mean, all right, here's the thing. Has a hottie ever actually won? Or somebody who's by hottie, I mean, their main strategy is, look at me, I got boobs. Or, look at me, I've got abs.
Jenna Maresca won.
Jenna? Oh, you're right. That was her shtick, too.
Heroes and Villains.
Parvati?
Parvati, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, definitely.
That was
okay. All she did. Look at
yeah.
me.
Yeah. Look at me. Yeah.
That's real, like, we talk about the noobs and the crazy people and the strategies where you can use them, right? The bonus of being a hottie is if you're a hottie with brain, you don't need to carry coach with you. You don't need to carry an idiot with you.
Yep.
And you are your own smokescreen. So there's no other X factor that you have to deal with. So if you can come into the game being attractive and know how to play the game, then you can be a self-reliant agent in the process. It's super useful if you're there.
Yeah. That's a good segue into the next one, the physical monstrosities, because that's the thing, at least for men, if you have those abs, those muscles, those shiny, shiny muscles, you are generally pretty strong. So you got your guys like James or...
James, he was a big motherfucker.
God, that guy. He was stacked. Rodney had that...
Rodney had the muscles, but wasn't good.
Yeah, and we found out later on he had never seen an episode of the show in his life, so he was also a clueless noob. But the other thing they add is a physical presence, because that's the thing is, physical challenges, you need those people in order to survive and to win, but then they become a threat and you vote them out. Like, well, actually, that's interesting, because Mike was not very physically outstanding. He was physically average, maybe a little bit above average, but he managed with willpower.
Well, I don't think the people who legitimately do well in the game are the monstrosities. The Jane Clements are too big for their own good. They don't win the endurance stuff, and they can't win the marathons. They win the sprints, they win the accuracy, they win the strength stuff, but they can't win the marathon stuff. The real physical person you want to be is a Mike or Joe. Definitely have muscle on you, but not so much that it's a hindrance to you.
Yeah.
Not so much that your metabolism is so high that there's no possible way on this island that you can keep
protein, bro.
Yes, exactly. Be protein, bro. Yeah. You can't be that. You have to be somebody who can get by maintaining your muscle mass on fucking rice and beans.
I love the mentality of the people who aren't the big fuckers, because the first few weeks or episodes, whatever the hell they are, the first few challenges, but when they're deciding who they need to vote out, somebody's like, what, this guy? Nope, he's big. We can't vote on him. We need strength. And like 99% of the times they lose challenges, it has nothing to do with strength.
Yep.
Yeah. It's usually like a puzzle solving one, or that's actually a neat little archetype too. The meatheads who are actually good at puzzles. I don't think we've seen too many of them. There was a guy. Oh, I don't remember.
Mike actually too.
Yeah, Mike was good at solving problems. Yeah, but which is an interesting thing in and of itself. Like, here we are talking about archetypes, and if you look at any player this last season or seasons in the past, they usually spread across two or three different archetypes.
Yeah, if you're a good player, you don't slot all the way into one.
Yeah.
If you slot all the way into one, that's a good way to get voted out.
Yeah, that makes you one-dimensional and not interesting, and therefore you're just going to be gone.
Well, it leaves you vulnerable
Yeah.
across the board.
And the alternative is being our final category, the folks who are just sort of there, the background filler people who are just kind of floating along. Like, if you remember Haley this season, she was just kind of, experiencing, just going with it. And those people, what they add to the show is pretty much just they're a warm body to get voted out at some point.
I love it when they get to the final, yeah, and the jury's talking to them, and they're like, why the fuck would I give you any vote? You didn't do anything this entire time.
Yeah.
What is wrong with you?
You know who I always felt got a bum rap for that? Was Becky from, was it Cook Islands or Exile Island? It was the one where Yule won. Yule and Ozzy, that was their first one. It was the racial survivor. Becky got a bum rap for it because she was very much behind the scenes working with Yule to determine who would get voted out and all that kind of stuff and strategizing. So everyone thought she was a background person, but she was actually right there at the forefront.
But you mentioned from last season Jen and Haley as the just there people, but I think Jen and Haley, they aren't just there because they were a duo, and that makes you a little bit more noticeable, and it gives you a certain strength as well when you're playing. I think the epitome of the just there player was there last season. It was Tyler.
Tyler. Wait, this is going to sound like a dumb question, but Tyler was which one again?
Tyler was the kicker.
He was the...
The guy who thought he was a... Yeah, you're right. See?
He was literally just there.
Yeah. Or, well, Sierra as well. Never really making any moves. Just kind of, I'm here. I'm in this game. Yeah, and it's a little bit, it's usually a bad season when one of them goes that far into it.
Which one's your favorite archetype to watch?
Oh, I hadn't thought of that.
There's also the douchebags, like, Joaquin, Rodney. Well, I guess, no, we talked about that. They're their own kind of crazy
person. Yeah, they're kind of a mixture of, I'm not here to make friends, the crazy ones, and usually the physical monstrosity type person. My favorite? Ooh, that's a good one. I think I'm going to go with the JT type. No, you know what? No. I'm going to go with the Courtneys of the world. The people who are kind of bitchy, and they're an underdog, but you know what? They know how to play the game. Like, they know the social side of it, so they're not just taking up space like Sierra. They're there, they're playing. I loved her. She was great. I love anybody who...
What do you think of, like, a Cochran?
Cochran was good. He was also an under... You know what? I'll put it this way. I just like me them underdogs. The people who aren't expected to win, but somehow managed to get through to the end. And aren't carried. Like, Courtney was not carried. Cochran was not carried. They all deserved to be there.
Legit.
What about you guys?
Mine's crazy.
Batshit
crazy. yeah. Who's your favorite batshit crazy? Mine's Coach.
I can't ever remember his name. The Spies R Us dude.
Yeah, we wrote him down as an example for that, and none of us could come up with his name. I probably should have looked up his name, but I don't care.
Survivor Spies R Us. Typing it in right now. Let's see. Commander Shepard.
Oh, don't call him Commander Shepard. That's besmirching the good name. Yeah, Philip. That's right. Oh God, that guy was insane.
He was a fucking lunatic.
And the thing is, he thought, oh, I'm going to play up the insanity so that, you know, I'm not really that crazy. But it's like, no, you really are that crazy. All right. Well, we got anything else we want to talk about? Anything off the top of your heads?
What in all of Survivor history, what moment do you remember the best? What sticks out in your head?
Ooh.
I got this. I have no idea why, and it wasn't even that big of a deal. But it was in the first season where they had a challenge where they had to, like, hold on to this bar, and it was basically just hold your breath as long as you fucking can. And they all of them went up after, you know, I don't know, like 30 seconds, and Jervis is just sitting down there under the water after everybody's already up and he's already won. He's just sitting there for no fucking reason, pointing up at everybody, counting them.
Actually, that reminds me of mine. It's another Jervis moment. It was, were they still in tribes at the time? Yeah, they're still in tribes. And the challenge was basically you had to go row a boat out to a buoy and then come back. And then that was all it was. And Jervis, who could not even swim, he was rowing, and his tribe won that challenge against Kelly, who was a professional river guide. And the first thing she does, like, they captured her, face palms, and says, I got beat by a fucking guy who can't even fucking swim. And that was all it was. And then it just smash cut to commercial break. And that is my favorite thing. Cause again, super underdog. Nobody would have expected it. Beat the overdog. It was perfect. What have you got, Andy? We shared ours. We showed you ours. You show us yours.
I think it's because of the reaction that followed it. At the time, I was living with a mutual friend of the three of us, and she had never watched Survivor before, but she started watching with Heroes versus Villains, which I think is arguably one of the best seasons in the history of Survivor. It was the tribal where Parvati gives the two hidden immunity necklaces to the two people sitting next to her and leaves herself wide open because she knew they were going to split the vote between those two, leaving herself wide open, but knowing nobody would ever vote for her. As soon as she did that, my roommate completely lost her shit.
I could see that.
I think that's one of the best moments in tribal history.
I remember I was watching that with my mom. Doesn't really understand the game. She's great. She's fantastic. But she's like, why would they do that? And that part, she was just like, oh my gosh. I love you, Mom.
Poverty Shallow. I think there's some things in her game and people don't like her for whatever reason. But that moment, that was just, it was beautiful.
Yeah. Okay, so when are we coming back? The show's what, third week of September?
I don't know. Sure. I don't know.
Something like that? Well, we'll do our draft. We'll actually learn who's playing, and we'll do our draft probably the week before it comes out.
Okay.
And then we will go back.
We're gonna go in just as blind as we were last time, right? Don't watch any videos. You can read the bio.
Oh, I was going to say, I feel you should be able to watch videos, because, well, okay, wait.
As I did last time.
Yeah, those,
They basically just said the same thing their bios did.
Yeah, their individual, like, hype promo, you can go ahead and watch that. Don't watch, like, previous seasons. How about we settle on that?
Yeah, no, I'm not going to go back and watch previous seasons. I know.
All right, you can get us wherever you got us for this. You guys are all smart. If you're listening to this podcast, you got it. We're on, what, iTunes, Stitcher, something else, Sleepy Dopey Happy. Yeah, you can listen to us stream right on notlg.com.
Yep.
Yeah, you can stream us right off that website. That's how I listen for a while. Other than that, we will see you around. We still don't have a sign off, do we?
Is it time?
Is what time?
No.
Nope. I'm gonna smash it right and smash cut end right there.